Welcome back to the Funky Kid Podcast.
We're talking about Hong Kong
Electronics Fair
2006.
Spring edition. 16.
Yeah, there's loads of drones. So that was racing drones this time. So there's a lot of racing drones.
Yeah, less consumer. You see racing drones anyway for more custom builds there.
I don't think it's really a racing drone, that one, though.
No?
It's because racing drones are actually faster and
lighter
and smaller.
Yeah.
That
smaller.
One is just a bit of a consumer. You can go fast with it and first person view.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's more like that.
How fast does a DJI go?
50 or 55, I think, somewhere like that.
So it's only not marginally, but 1/3.
Yeah, 72. That's what it claims.
Yeah.
Because I wrote it today, the article, and I researched it, and the battery only lasts like 8 to 10 minutes.
Is that all? 8 to 10 minutes of
DJI.
What do you do with that?
The
racing one.
The Tofsto, and you're 8 to 10 minutes, which isn't all that great.
I'm guessing
the DJI is like 28, and the mini wing is 33 minutes.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So you normally have a spare battery. So you with this racer one, we have about six spare batteries.
I've seen a couple of the vlogs, that Casey one, and the shots that...
You only watched the one?
I watched the one, but... Well, I actually watched a few. You just use it. That's because of her.
I watch zero vlogs.
You know
when
what?
The drone goes out and pans out the screen, the screenshot of the video, it's really good.
Yeah. But the camera on that drone is like... Probably the best.
He put a different camera on there?
No, like DJI's own camera.
Oh, is that a own camera? Alright, okay. And he just records it onto the SD card, doesn't feed back to
the... No, all the recording is always done on the drone, but then it does send a feedback.
Right.
Yeah. That's how he's following him. So he's got the touch screen and you can bloody bar with a touch screen and then it follows you.
Yep.
And you can go home, like go back and go automatically.
Yeah. Okay, return home. Battery low, return home.
I think that's a standard feature though.
You know, even Parrot One's got it. Parrot One has that.
I think all drones have to have that.
Otherwise, you just lose it. Run out of battery and it's on the other side of the mountain.
Yeah.
Oh.
But most of the drones, surprisingly, I never, after watching the Casey vlog, right, I realised I did some research as well. All drones, when they start running out of battery, regardless if it's connected to you or not, it'll just lower itself. Because it knows how much energy it needs, right, to just lower itself.
Oh, yeah. Because isn't it the higher the altitude, the more it needs to rotate?
Yeah, I think so, something like that.
Yeah.
But then, at least, you know, I just assumed it'll fall out of the sky.
Oh, yeah, it will slowly float down, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If we have one now, we wouldn't know where to fly it.
We're
stuck in the middle of Hong Kong right now. Like,
yeah,
we'll
do the alley
out.
One.
We have to go out.
You can't do it in the alley because there's no GPS and they'll just fly into the wall.
You just pinball.
Yeah.
They just do the latest one.
They just pinball. So, you know, unless you're above the buildings.
And then
we have to figure out legislations of Hong Kong if there's going to be like an anti-drone.
Well,
they're going to,
I saw the news on BBC, they're going to bring out a huge legislation to stop drones.
It'll happen.
Let's go to Sankona fly.
It's like when we went to that in that New Year's Eve. You know, we're watching the fireworks and this bloody drone was like in the way.
Not 2 years ago.
Yeah. It's prompt, like right in the middle of everyone's view.
Yeah.
But I know the guy was doing that actually.
So
we have to go to like country parks.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
What I mean. Go to excited.
I think
that's
for me the best way of using a drone like for videoing is on a boat trip.
Boat trip.
So like fly out of the boat, you know.
Yeah, that
or a road
good.
Trip.
The risk is I'm more afraid like the whole drone just falling to the sea like oh. But I know it should be fun.
And then we film a video about how do you reduce
the A3. The guy says if you just leave the control out, as long as you got good GPS, it'll just float.
Yeah, if
it doesn't move.
If.
Yeah. So.
Yes. So we have lots of drones. We have lots of smart wearables.
Wearables, yeah. Wearables.
Too much smart wearables.
Were they smart though? Because they were just everyone you reposted like. It has lots of clock faces and it tells you
notifications.
Right?
Yeah,
it's exactly the same as everybody else. I don't think that's standard these days. I don't think that's smart anymore. If you can't do that, you're not smart, right?
Well, they're most of the OEM companies, though. They were just producing them for other companies.
Yeah,
to change it.
Just change, put the brand name on
OEM
there.
OEM stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of OEM. What else did we see?
There was a couple of hoverboard scooter stuff.
Love.
See, I don't understand that this name thing for hoverboard. So it doesn't actually hover.
It
right?
doesn't. No. The closest thing is that one with the one wheeler, right?
The uni wheel board thing.
Yeah. Well, that company Xgate got in partnership with Kawasaki.
Yeah.
And, for licensing. So that'd be interesting whether they'll beef up their motor, because the motor is the main thing that runs it, right? And if you have a...
I don't think it's the motor, it's the balancing mechanism.
I think they are selling that as in the self-balance, like it will balance.
But the big wheel 10-inch model, that zips at 25 kilometers per hour. That's pretty fast. That's faster than sprint speed. Think about it.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Sprint speed, you're looking at 17 to 20 kilometers per hour.
Your sprint speed?
Human sprint speed, average, right? Not a 100-meter athletic dude. But an average human sprint speed between 17 and 20 kilometers. And this one does 25, so you can zip around with it. So
I think it's because...
And it's waterproof.
I think it's because we're living in Hong Kong. I see no use for it at all because we're so, like, too many people here.
But I think it's all the regulations. You're not. I'm not sure if you.
Even so, we have no space.
I'm so underbiked.
You try about you doing one of those in Mountain Cop.
You can't.
You'd be like running into people.
That'd be so much fun to film it.
So it's like that's why I think it's because we're living in such a tight, dense.
Yeah. This is nothing new, but I like the e-swing, outdoor one. Man, that one just.
The off-road one.
Off-road one, man. That looks good.
The big chunky tires.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be good if you like lived in the new territories.
Yeah. Up on the mountains and stuff like that. That's outdoors. That looks really good. Yeah, again, all waterproof and smart.
Did they say the price for that one?
There was $400 for the mini one, mini Q. That's the home kind of city version. The outdoor one, I think, was a little bit more. It's quite a bit. It's like $1,000-something. So.
Out of our budget, then.
Yeah.
US.
US.
It's always US. That's where the trade is going to be.
Yeah. Or they deal with US currencies. It's easier for trade.
What else did we see? We saw Action Cams.
Action Cams.
SJ Cam.
Yep.
SJ Cam with their, what was it? M20.
M20.
Yeah.
It's going to be released in June, right? On May and May.
What's the M ring? I don't quite understand the M ring.
The M ring, it's like a QB shaped one.
Yeah. Is it slightly smaller?
Yeah, because they're like. Because the form factor was that normal block. Like the GoPro size,
the
and then everyone went cube, like Polaroid, even like with what's the GoPro one called? A cube one.
Session.
Yeah.
And then so this one's like the equivalent. It's not as small as that, but it's still a cube.
It's
bigger than that. Bigger than the Polaroid.
That one and the GoPro one hasn't got an LCD, right?
No.
The M20 has.
I can't remember.
The M20 is not that range.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Oh,
it's
right,
not the cube one.
It's like a cube, but it's an arch cube.
SJ had their own cube one as well.
I saw the cube one, Yeah, they had the cube one.
But the silly thing was, like, the GoPro one is actually waterproof. That was the whole point of creating the cube.
Yeah.
The SJ one wasn't waterproof. You have to add another cube on
the
it.
Case. Yeah.
Another case on it, which makes it
but then,
practically the same
but
size
the
as
the SJ
one,
the new one, it's got, like, an inbuilt gyro.
Oh, right.
So it's got stabilizers already inside it, so it's going to be pretty good. No, actually moving along, cam videos.
Yeah,
it's quite interesting. They're progressing pretty quick.
There's a lot of new stuff. I mean, that modular case, that was interesting. The guy was explaining how you can individually program little modules.
On NextPack.
Yeah, NextPack.
I wouldn't have use for it. I said that in the article I wrote. I wouldn't have use for it because I don't like my cases to be big and chunky on my phone. But I'll probably have it as an extra thing. Like with the backpack they had, the extra pack.
Yeah, so
I'd probably that. But on my back of my phone, no, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But saying that, because I had this, when I first saw it and he just started showing us and demoing it, I thought, well, that's stupid. I'm not going to add those module things to my telephone. And then he showed us that home station thing where you
backpack.
That was good.
I thought that was good. And then after seeing that, where I can, station it at home or the office or whatever, and then you can take out just the modules, you don't have to take out the whole unit. Then you think, oh, maybe I could use the case as well, because then I can switch features and change programs and whatnot. But then I remembered it's only Android at the moment. So.
Oh, it's Android only?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
It's
a Kickstarter, isn't it?
It started off as a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Indiegogo, we started
on. You said something.
Yeah, I remember he said that.
They actually I think they put it on Indiegogo or Kickstarter like even within 3 days they reach their target.
The home smart home devices. What do you think of those?
Well, we've had similar ones things before, like the Belkin Wemos and stuff like that.
Yeah. Do you know the Wulian company? That one. I thought they were using Wi-Fi and RF. Nah, they're using things called Zigbee. Yeah,
which is
it's
Wi-Fi.
A wireless communication. It's a different protocol, yeah.
I mean, we've had similar ones before. I mean, back in the UK, maybe 10 years ago, I was buying stock kits from Maplins.
Oh, I remember those little kits you
And I used to be doing that already with using the first iPhone, controlling stuff around the home and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then these are like more bigger range.
Bigger range, small home stuff.
I like small home stuff. Anything.
The things like that should have been out like years and years ago, but it's only in the last couple of years that they have a big thing about it, but I don't know why.
Is it
because of Nest? They thought, oh yeah, someone developed Nest, who's doing a thermostat, connected up, and then they thought, okay, produce these smart stuff, right?
Well, I think it's because, like, namely, your smartphones and tablets all have Bluetooth, right?
Yeah.
But then the first generation, you couldn't really turn off Bluetooth because it'd kill your battery. But these days, you can just leave it on and it's pretty much fine.
Yeah.
And but I have one gripe with all these systems is, one, that they all use a different protocol or frequency,
standard,
or Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or infrared or a mixture of both or a mixture of all. They don't really talk to each other, so you need third-party services to kind of integrate with different systems.
Mm.
They're all at different price ranges, which, you know, so which one's better? And so it's just too much... variables, I guess.
They need a standard.
Yeah, they need a standard. But I think they should simplify a lot.
I think everyone's trying to push their own stuff and get everyone to get on, you know, hook on to their platform and, you know, so...
But I think that's why they won't win.
They're too scattered.
Yeah.
It'd be like, nobody's going to buy them.
What is this difference, especially like Wulian's ones and other kinds? What is their
They use Zigbee, similar to any other Wi-Fi. It's a slightly different protocol, but they have this gateway that everything connects to it. So it doesn't rely on Wi-Fi. You need a Wi-Fi router, for example, or it doesn't need a Bluetooth connection. It just needs a frequency, which is Zigbee, which connects up to this gateway.
Does that mean that I need to buy every thing from them?
Potentially.
A Zigbee-enabled device.
Not necessarily, because their devices might only talk to their own controllers.
Talk to their,
which is another problem, right?
You know, the apps as well, the apps only control.
So technically I need to buy everything from them, and then I have this feature.
Yeah.
I think one thing good going for it is going to be cheaper than the rest. Like, it'd be cheaper for than US competition, that's about it. That's why the China-based company.
So
the support won't be there. The end support won't be great.
Because this is really an electronic show, so there's not much computer stuff, right? There wasn't any PC hardware on.
Oh, we saw Intel.
Intel was there.
So lots of batteries.
Batteries, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's I haven't posted up yet. That one with the jump start cables. Yeah, it was an external battery, a big fat external battery.
Right.
But then it had jump start cables off that you can actually jump start a car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and obviously, to suit Winston's taste, it has a torch as well.
it's
like a built-in torch going, woo!
It's like a survival battery kit.
Yeah, so I guess you put that in your car and then you power portable DVD players, I guess, with that.
I remember a battery, it's the stack. Do you remember, it stack your phone to battery and battery
the wireless charging
stack
case.
To whatever.
The solar thing. Is that the part?
No. Remember towards the end of the... it was a phone case with a magnet...
Oh, yeah.
Batteries.
But the woman that came up to us.
Yeah.
And we were half tired already going, oh.
Okay.
So what was it again? It was the case, the magnet
battery
that sticks to the case.
And the magnet
battery
charger.
Charges through the magnet.
And then you can charge a whole unit by magnetizing it to the wall
charger.
Yeah.
I can see the idea, what they're trying to get. It's like...
I mean, the worst thing was for me, it made the foam chunkier again.
So
I was like, no, I'm like, so I lost interest after like 2 seconds, and then she just kept on going.
It was a huge thing because that battery doesn't have to hook onto an iPhone or it can hook onto an Android.
It's a bottom. It's a connector, isn't it? It's a case
that
goes into your phone's connector.
Mm.
and then obviously it charges the case, which is external battery, and the battery charges the phone.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
it, really. That's the it's a basic concept. That's yeah. it. So yeah, and it made your phone bigger. So
it looks cool.
I guess you liked it then.
I did. And I also liked how she presented it. As in, you know, it's kind of smart, you know, you can switch this and switch that, you can leave the battery and then charge it.
Well, I think that's the thing for me. It's not smart enough.
Yeah.
Right? Because it only does one thing, which is charge your phone.
And where is your normally wall chargers? It's on the bottom of the wall. So yeah. I want to charge my phone, like, in the corner of my room on the
behind
floor.
The sofa.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't make sense. So what you need, right, is from a wall plug, an extension cable onto a table desk, and then you plug that charger onto your desk.
So to get wireless charging, you need this cable to...
So it was like, for me, I lost interest after like literally 2 seconds of it, and she just kept on going. I was just being polite, going, ah, and just grinning and nodding my head.
I think she got offended, though, because I was late to the party, late to the demonstration. You were like, oh, look at this. And I was like, oh, that's crap. If I change phones, it won't work. And everyone just went silent.
Yeah, yeah.
I was looking
saying,
at the sign behind us.
How not to be rude.
Yeah, I remember him saying, oh, then you change your phone and everything will be useless.
There was more little bits and pieces, loads of, you know.
We had lots of security cameras that we didn't count.
IP cameras.
And lots of the door locks.
I have smart door locks.
See the wall layout, we didn't finish it.
I quite like that concept of a door lock with a camera on it.
And fingerprint.
And fingerprint, because the other ones, right, the other keyhole cameras generally are this huge thing that you stick to your phone, replacing your tiny little keyhole, and it's obvious there's a camera, but then when you integrate it into the handle, it kind of disappears, and then you get the same benefit.
It allows you to, as soon as you turn the handle, lights will start going on, and you can program it to turn on the lights, stick on the cooker or whatever, do the coffee. By just putting
save
the handle.
Sequence, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at the same time, because you have your fingerprint, so does that mean?
Oh, if your fingerprint don't work, you can swipe up, and then the keypad comes up, lights up.
And what if there's a power cut?
That's a standard feature, though. All
so what if there's a power cut?
Then you have to use
cordless. It's not connected to the mains, it's actually batteries.
Oh, batteries. Yeah, separate batteries.
With these, there's normally a key as well.
Yeah, you have to have a fallback. Yeah.
But there is actually a version I read online literally last week.
I love it.
This company, they actually made one without a real key. I'm not sure how they go bypass it, but there's actually no way in or something like that.
Would that be a similar thing like keyless door?
So you trap this?
Okay. Like, I don't know how the keyless doors work. There must be a failsafe. Right?
Keyless doors used to be for RF. And people used to nick the frequencies.
And then you just go by a car door nearby and it just open.
Yeah, people used to you press the button and the RF signal goes. And then people used to nick the frequencies. So you go to a car park, you record the frequencies.
Yeah. That's just open the door. What about starting the car engine? You still need that.
No, with the car one, with the thing, normally now you put a key in and you press a button.
No, they've gone one step. So when we were in Australia, we rented a Nissan something, whatever Nissan thing. So when you got the key in your pocket, you walk up to the car, it doesn't unlock. Right, you have to physically put your hand on the handle, and the touch will actually open it.
Right.
Because it detects the closeness of the key, and then movement on the handle.
Right.
And then it unlocks it.
And what about starting the engine in the car?
And because you've unlocked it and you've sat down, then you can start the car. If you're not sat down, there's no one in the driver's seat, they won't start the car.
Right, but that key needs to be matched with, you know what I mean?
The car.
Because imagine, I could be a 14-year-old.
Of course.
I make my dad's key.
It's probably some encryption key.
Then... I go to the door, open, sat down, a 14-year-old now, he doesn't know how to drive, but then if he hasn't got that key combination lock, whatever, then...
So there's no lock against that, I can't imagine. Because it's smarter, but it's not, you know, it's still using location, or near...
But I'm suddenly...
Near field, NFC.
All these technologies, like fingerprint and stuff like that, I think fingerprint is fairly secure. I mean, you know, okay, you can, you know, fake it, but... For a car system,
it's good enough, I think.
I don't know why they haven't put that in.
Because you maybe want to run out of battery in your car.
Yeah, what's the battery? But I'm sure it doesn't use that much electricity.
It shouldn't do.
It doesn't use that much electricity, but then eventually you might have no power, and then you can't get your car.
Yeah, I think most of them do have a failsafe with a key.
Yeah.
But there's no key locks on these doors. Like a Tesla, the handle's flush.
Oh yeah, so how do you open it?
Break the window.
Big, to crawl under
the big fat brick. And you go 1960.
Okay, so yeah, fingerprint car lock.
That's the future.
He exists.
Thanks for the update, Lyrica.
Okay, we're actually saying
thanks for your contribution.
You just googled it, have you?
Yes.
It was a bit of a. I think the layout of the fair was a bit of a mishmash, really. They tried to put some things together, but then they ended up not. Because they had, like, say this area in Hall 3 was, like, for, say wearables, smart wearables.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden in Hall 5, there was a Taiwan section that had wearables as well, because it was Taiwan-based.
Yeah.
So it was just here, then, everywhere. I didn't like the actual route of the whole place. It was just a mishmash of everything.
Yeah, and the halls are too small.
And it was just everywhere.
It was, because it was on level one was the Hall of Fame, the guys with the big money, big bucks.
So they don't care where the hell they are.
On the booths, right? And then you got third floor, which was more gadgety stuff.
Yeah, so it's so drones in one space. But then you went to Hall 5, which was like from Korea. Drones there, because those were from Korea.
So
it was all the foreign ones, they stuck on level 5, which for a normal attendee, they have to go all the way up, so that's the kind of last thing that they
see. I think that's cheaper there.
Cheaper rent.
Cheaper to rent.
It's floor space.
But I don't like the fact that they wasted all the hall space as well.
Right.
Yeah.
They either make it the floor space, or they don't.
Mm.
So there's nothing, you like, inside, but you're not quite inside.
I found out, not Intel one, they crammed so much.
Because it was, I think it was their retail marketing section versus the new product.
And they just went crazy.
A lot of the products were not actually theirs. They were resellers and OEMs and all that.
Yeah.
They just put them on display. But they're using Intel chips.
Yeah, like that robot, the yellow robot. It was like, this company made it using an Intel whatever chip. I don't know.
What do you think of those PC on a stick?
It's convenient.
So the TV right now, I just put HDMI in and it's PC start up. Windows 10.
Is it as simple as that?
Simple as that.
Well,
does my
TV have a USB?
It doesn't need time to load. It's already in the ROM.
How does it do that? Because, I've got a normal LG 40-inch TV. I think it's got a USB port at the back.
It just
the USB port
screen.
Is a HDMI port.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I like it.
Okay, I get that.
So
it's just like you have, because you made yourself a super small PC, right? They kind of just make it smaller.
Yeah, so the HDMI is not actually connecting to the PC, it's connecting to the monitor or TV.
I think the downside for me for these is it theoretically is all I've got. It's only a size of a USB drive and blah, 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 but then still got to get the keyboards and the mouse for it.
Yeah, so it's wireless.
Which is like about 100 times bigger than the stick.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to store that somewhere as well.
They need an app. There needs to be Bluetooth,
Wi-Fi
type app. You just open up the app with the keyboard and then you did it.
So I think that what they've done is, I think Windows 10 have some touchscreen keyboards. So when you load that up, you can get smart TVs with touchscreen, right?
Why would you want fingerprints on your TV?
Let's send an email on a 72-inch TV. You're like going, where's the enter button? It's like, over there!
It's 100 centimeters between the A and the B.
Makes sense. You know?
Or you can
you're
get
punching
the
screen.
Get the Microsoft, is it the Cortina?
Cortina,
the
voice.
And you can voice
record.
It, and then it'll type it for you.
That little thing's not strong enough for Cortina.
I like the idea that you have an app.
Maybe.
Come
so
on, Microsoft's own phone is barely strong enough.
I like it. I mean, when I read the article today, when I blogged today, I was thinking of getting the Shadow X PC, trying to find one. I couldn't.
Yeah.
I was thinking, because I wanted something to come play movies
via
to my TV for an HDMI port.
Yeah.
I saw a laptop for like $1,799. Laptop.
Right.
You're going to stuff that on probably some HD stuff. But then I saw that console thing, that TV companion.
Yeah, that one.
I mean, that was like a 1,200.
Which is, yeah.
What's the TV companion?
It's like it looks like a dashboard controller.
Yeah.
It's touch screen. It's got touch screen, so it's diagonal.
Okay.
And it's just one piece, so you can't upgrade it. Inside, it's got like 4 gig of RAM and 64 gig of storage.
I think you upgrade by SD cards.
Yeah. It's got a LAN port, it's got HDMI, and it's got 4 USB ports. So there's no SD card slots.
Isn't it?
You use USB slots.
Oh, right.
So it's got Wi-Fi built in. So people use it apparently to control their TV.
So
you can stream
it's 450
to it.
US.
So and you've got that thing, it's touch screen, so maybe you put it side of sofa and you can, it's Windows.
Yeah.
And
don't
you
get me wrong,
it.
But isn't that called an iPad or an Android tablet?
Yeah, in a way. But it's like it's mounted nicely, so you can put it on top of the side of the couch and you can control everything. So
but it runs.
It's Windows, actually
Windows,
Windows. It's Windows, was it 8? Windows 8. I think it's a version of Windows 8, and it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
And that was only 1,200, so I might even go for that.
Do you know the new Android phones? Are they coming out with like 128 gig and huge storage? They are,
yes.
Because the next evolution, I kind of had this thought when I was coming over here to record this podcast, and I was thinking, I can't wait till the day where I can just come over to your place with my phone, and then I can just plug in my phone, and then I can take over your screen. Just like a PC on a stick.
Yeah.
But it's my phone, right? So it goes with me everywhere. And there's actual screen. So if I unplug it from your television, I can continue using my phone as is and access all the files.
Yeah, I think they've got these... Android's doing it now. It's the Mirrorcast.
Mirrorcast?
Yeah.
That's been a while over there.
Basically, just...
Oh, that's the same interface, isn't it?
Put that old screen output onto your TV.
It's
and
AirPlay.
That's AirPlay for Android kind of thing. Yeah. But not directly plugging in your phone, no.
But when you put your phone interface on the television, it becomes stupid. It's just not quite the same, right?
Yeah.
I
noticed some of the, for example, I mean...
I guess that's what Microsoft's trying to do.
Yeah.
With their OS, right?
More webby, kind of smart interface, that kind of thing, you know?
Maybe that's... Yeah.
But I noticed it was in our new office, there was... not in Hong Kong, but it was in Taiwan. They bought Sony 4K TVs, and as you know, using
what's that?
Like Sony, I can't remember which model, but they're using 4K resolution TVs, and they're trying to use that as a projector, and they're not using projectors anymore. Actually, using the screen to project, as in connecting up. But then you can't get 4K resolution on PCs, can you? No.
You can.
But you don't have 4K content anyway, it's just more pixels.
Yeah, so...
I mean, your PowerPoint presentation is not going to be 4K, is it?
No. But you need the 4K video or content, right, to get the best out of it.
Yeah, you do, but I think it still improves HD, though, when you see HD on a 4K, because you can get the full resolution, right? Or fuller resolution, more detail, because there's more pixels there for you to use.
Yeah.
Oh. Nothing over 72... 720p, and I can't even notice difference anymore. My eyes are not that good.
1080p is good enough, I think. Yeah, it's more.
That's something I learned from the fair.
I think that's okay for me.
That's something I learned from the fair. There's a 2K. I never knew that 2K existed. It was like 4K.
It's kind of in between, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're
like 2K, and you were in the going, what? What's 2K?
There's 2K.
But that's 720p, though. That was like everyone was talking about 1080p.
Yeah.
Where they're like, well, for now, we're going to use 720.
So that's right. So 2K is available, but I don't think people will bother getting it, unfortunately. Because it's
4K.
Yeah, might as well go 4K, right?
Oh.
And most people have only just gradually got their HD TV. Most people, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't buy a new television every year. You generally wait till the one you've got is broken, and then you upgrade, which is like 5-10 years.
4K.
It's a totally different market.
I think they need to open more 4K stuff, content. And
if they can sort the bandwidth,
that's the problem at the moment. Bandwidth.
Imagine 4K on our bandwidths.
I'll just kill it.
Bye.
He's got Hong Kong broadband here now.
Have you?
Apparently, I might have to sign up for it, which means I get 1 gig.
We'll be over here.
They
raping.
Call it 100.
We'll be
megabyte,
over here raping.
1,000 megabyte.
Yeah.
We'll be over here raping it.
You'll find us sitting outside,
just torrenting, just constantly torrenting stuff.
God.
Yeah, so what else?
Yes, app jamming. So we were at the event, the finals, the app jamming 2016 summit.
Yes.
The first Code Academy.
I was really surprised, even though you guys didn't seem to be surprised. but then I really, because the first presenter was a little girl, she was like 6.
Do you want to explain what app jamming is?
Yes, app jamming is a regional coding competition for kids. And so we went to the final of 2016. The first presenter was a 6-year-old girl, and she coded something like what?
I can't remember which one, because the first person was a 6-year-old boy, not a girl.
I'm sorry.
all the kids and the apps, you got to think about it. They got to code it using this MIT app coder, right? And
app
then
Inventor.
And then they got to create a video to show people, and they got to present it on stage.
Yeah, so they made an app, and then they made a PowerPoint. They also made a video. Then they stood on a stage and presented to their family, friends, and judges.
Yeah.
I really think it was a great competition, and it kind of it really encouraged me and inspired me. If a 6-year-old can code, nothing stops me from learning.
I mean, for me, for what I got from the, what, how many, there's 17 finalists.
16
finalists, right? And at the end of it, what impressed me more than their actual coding skills, even, that was very impressive anyway, was the fact that they could stand up, explain the application to an audience while presenting and going through the flow of it. And these guys are from six, 7 years old to like, what, 15?
Yeah.
And I'm 36 now and I still just struggle to stand up in front of people and explain myself sometimes.
Yeah, I mean,
it was really impressive. And then remember that group of girls from Singapore?
Yeah.
They flew over to Hong Kong and they presented their Mindful Kitchen app.
Yeah.
They started with a song. Like the presenter, they started presenting with a song. And then they presented it by literally throwing like vegetables and fruits out from the basket. And
it was more of a show, but more of a, you know.
Yeah, and then they presented it in the way that it is so important for us to actually care how much food we waste and how we could help protecting our environment by saving a little bit. Yeah.
As, good thing is the winner actually goes to the MIT.
Yeah,
Global,
they go. Yeah, so they got the chance to go to US and to join this MIT Summit, which is a global event for kids who invent, who create apps. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty good. How long is the trip to MIT, though?
As in,
it's a couple of weeks, right?
Is it two weeks, maybe?
I think it's 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fully sponsored.
Fully
sponsored trip to US. And they're going to meet some of these most intelligent people in the entire world.
Or more geeky people.
And kids, you know. And I remember I saw a promotion video of Web German Summit, and then one kid explained and said, oh, because I was not the cool kid at school. But then when I learning coding with at First Code Academy, I feel like I'm the coolest, like, in the crowd. Because, like, they feel like they are the superstar in the group where people care about creating and, you know, coding.
Yeah. So, yeah, so we were there. We covered the show, the thing, and the article's posted.
Yeah. Yeah, it's posted, yeah. We've got a little video running around, and, you know, you see the kids. They're already hyper.
Yeah, like, I have Germany!
Yeah, they're really hyper. And that's what you love about the kids. They're so enthusiastic and so, you know, really, really going for it.
And the best part, and my favorite part, is the voting session where they couldn't wait and tell everybody to vote for them.
Oh, right. Yeah, they were trying to sell. They were not just presenting the app, they were trying to sell the app.
Like a Kickstarter for quite
a
crowdfunding thing.
Because every audience has 2 votes. And we got 16 finalists there. So they were like 10 minutes or 15 minutes session where we could vote for two. And then they were all trying their best to explain and to draft people.
I like the food app because, you know.
You like food.
Yeah, it's true. family runs a restaurant and everything. But yeah, they mentioned about food wastage. It is a big problem. And it's a simple app. You know, expiry barcodes, you can just scan and put them in your phone. Another one was about, again, food related, is in today's busy society, nobody ever gets a chance to meet up as a family to eat, right?
Yeah.
So they kind of like set up a group where, you know, get family together.
Yeah, so basically.
What you want to eat, and then find out where to shop those bits. Or food, you know, and ingredients.
Yeah, so they think as a kid, kids, right? So they want to eat this. And it's an app where they could just send this to their mom. And then so it's not just mom who decides what they eat for dinner.
Yeah.
So they just, like, send everybody, like, every family member can choose 1 or 2 dishes per night, I think.
Yeah.
And then the mom would know what they want, and the mom would shop for things.
That's right. And this kid added a medicine button or something where you can click on that and you can tell the family what kind of food stuff they can't eat, allergies or if you're on a medicine.
No, that's future improvement.
All right. Yeah.
There's a medicine button, and I think it tells you what medicines and when to eat.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, these are the kids, I mean, the future developers, you know? Yeah. Interesting.
I just feel like I'm so stupid comparing to them, but...
Yeah, I have that feeling as well, yeah.
but seriously, there was this, like, six-year-old, and they were on stage and presenting, and... too cool, man. Too cool.
Excellent. Right, I want to talk about the equipment that we used. The Hong Kong Fair, right?
Yeah, and so, also after
everything.
So.
Yeah, cool.
So all the videos you guys see, actually, we just used a normal Sony camcorder.
Sony camcorder. I'm not sure the model number though.
It's HDRCX580. I know that.
Such a geek.
Uses SD cards, 1080p HD, and is 5 years old.
It is 5 years old, and it's typical. This is Sony, right?
Sony, yeah.
I liked using the camera.
Mm-hmm.
It was flawless. It was easy. It was light. The battery lasted for hours, right? No problem.
Tell us about the battery pack you wore.
But I'll get to that later. But then it had the typical, I don't know if it's a Sony problem,
yeah,
or a camcorder problem, is when you need to import the data from it.
Right.
They don't record in the normal format. They package it in something else, and
you need
their software to actually do it. So we had to find a workaround to actually import the movie files off the camera or the SD card even.
Yeah.
So
from the SD card, yeah. So what happened was it has a built-in USB cable, remember? So we unplugged that. That worked okay?
That connects it to the computer. Then you need to use Sony's application to import it, or import it straight into Final Cut and then drag them out into a separate folder.
Well, see, with that, you have all these issues. Not because it's a Mac, right? Because that hasn't happened.
Because it's a Sony.
But I put it on a PC, I just drag and drop. They're not MP4s or MOVs.
It's the same issue.
They're .mts. I just drag and drop into the PC, that's it.
And then what do you do with the MTS file?
You can import them into any movie maker.
What if you just want to straight view it?
It plays, yeah. Windows will play it. Windows Media Player will play it.
It's just a repackaged MOV
file. I think they just add a bit to it to make it odd.
Yeah.
A Sony.
Sony. That's so 80s.
It's typical Sony.
Sony.
And then the mic we used, that turned out to be really well. That was
another Sony.
Yeah, the Sony directional shotgun mic. I think that was the game changer for us, because we've been complaining about audio.
We didn't expect it to be that good, and it turned out to be really good.
Well, I knew a shotgun mic would be very good, and then we tried that shotgun mic before to record a podcast, and it failed completely.
And the reason why it failed is because the interference from
the,
believe it or not, a screen, LCD screen.
Yeah, which we didn't know.
Yeah.
So, and we had some interference. If you watch some of the show footage, there's certain points where there's interference in the audio.
Hmm.
And I was behind the camera all the time, and Winston was obviously in front of the camera. And constantly I was like, trying to play with the cables and figuring it out, and it wasn't until after the fact and we came back to the apartment that I realized if you put the microphone or the cable near a screen, then it kind of messes up all the audio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so is that the problem of that specific mic, or is every
mic? I think it's
mic?
The problem with all mics in general.
Interference, yeah. I mean, it's we thought, okay, let's buy a shielded, thicker extension cable for the audio, but it turned out just the same.
Yeah.
So it's... Yeah, to do with the LCD laptop screen for that particular setup. Yeah.
Screen? But then in Taiwan,
we'll
encounter the same
screens.
Thing.
You'd be like,
we just have to avoid the screens.
You just
have
to avoid
screens,
yeah.
Screen. Okay.
It's okay, Winston won't be standing near the screens, he'll be standing near the models.
That's true.
So that's it for this week's podcast.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Bye!
Bye!